Let's see what it says here. Tonight is Tu Bishvat, yeah? Everyone knows? Tonight is Tu Bishvat. It's the Inyan to pray. Pray for your Etrog and Tu Bishvat. That you'll have a good Etrog. So now, remember, we said yesterday that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak's father-in-law, Rabbi Alan Schwartz, he passed away. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak took the responsibility over the children of his father-in-law, which they were not married. Some of them were not married. And he made sure to marry them off. And chinuch, everything he did to be able to do.
Wasn't his mother-in-law also very sick?
Yeah. He made sure to marry off his first of all, his sister-in-law's sisters-in-law. He made sure that they won't go to the communist schools. They stay at home. Okay, and to marry them off also to people like that. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak was very, very. The main thing that he dealt with his father-in-law's family was this. Also the spiritual, also the physical, also the spiritual. Once, his mother-in-law asked him to pray to Hashem that the parnasa will be easier. Rabbi Yitzchak told him, the parnasa we can leave to Hashem. Whatever he does will be my prayer, my pleadings in front of Hashem, besides the fact that they'll have parnasa, were that the girls were married to marry husbands of Sheirei Shamayim. Yeah. And he took care of the family very much. So, five girls Rabbi Alan, who was Nifter, had. The oldest one was Fege, which is the wife of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. The second daughter was married to Moshe Gilidman from Czech Chenstechov. He was a big tzaddik also, Chassid Breslev. He used to serve Hashem with all of his might. Right after Marv, Moshe used to tell everyone, the Rebbe's coming, the Rebbe's coming, Rabbi Chatzais is coming, Rabbi Chatzais, everyone should go to sleep. Rabbi Chatzais is coming, everyone should go to sleep right after Meir, because Rabbi Chatzais is coming soon. To prepare ourselves. Yeah, he's very into Chatzot. Yeah, Moshe, this little Moshe is a brother of Levi Yitzchak. He came to Israel and he died Tafshin Zayin. He died young. And he was buried in Al-Zaisi in the Breslov over there. And his wife died 10 years later. Yeah. The third daughter of Rav Aaron, Rav Levi Yitzchak married off to Rav Hirsch Leib Lipl, which was one of the main people serving Hashem and Numa in the Breslov group. Right, it was famous that he got married to Tapresh Pe Gimel in 1923, 2 years after his father-in-law passed away. Yeah, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak loved Rabbi Hirsch Leib very much. He called him my son-in-law because he married him off to his sister-in-law. So yeah, he was a Radam's chassid. When he came to Uman. That's what happened, yeah. He was Talmid of Chafetz Chaim, and he didn't know, he wanted to be a chassid, didn't know which chassid he should get close to. So he asked the Chafetz Chaim what to do. So Chafetz Chaim said, go to Breslev. Breslev is good. So why? Breslev, they keep Shulchan Aruch. Chafetz Chaim was into keeping Shulchan Aruch very much, right? Very strong, he's the Bura and everything. He said, go to Breslev, they keep Shulchan Aruch. Levi Yitzchak was considered a very important person, and even not amongst the best of Hasidim. And they asked him to do chuppah and kiddushin and b'tam chacham. Okay, and now he saw it, he tried not to do it. So he tried. So they used to tell him, yeah, but when you were in Bad Rachmanat, in the refugee camp, you did always chuppas. You were there. So he said, why are you reminding me of my sins that he did chuppas there? Why are you reminding me of my sins? The main thing is not to be a rav or a dayan or something. The main thing is to serve Hashem quietly. Yeah. Rav Levi Yitzchak also walked the Rabbi Shleib to the wedding, to the chuppah. And also, he buried him 70 years later, whatever, 60 years later. Yeah. And he spoke about it. He said about him a eulogy. He said, Rabbi Shleib, your best years and your all your powers, your wonderful powers, you gave in order to go in the ways of Rabbeinu, which is Torah, Tefillah, and good deeds. You gave everything to Rabbeinu. 12 years straight you were in Uman, and he didn't even miss one day from going to the Tzion to serve Hashem there with Torah and Tefillah. You should know that you're dead right now, and don't let all the other mechablim to think that you're as if you're alive. Go straight to Rabbeinu's place, and over there you should be. And it, just like in your lifetime you didn't want anything just to be close to the way of Rabbeinu, so to go straight to Rabbeinu over there. Yeah, and hopefully we may lead Tiosha for all the Hasidic blessed which were involved over here in this world. Yeah, another daughter which passed away young. And the fifth daughter had married a guy named Reb Leib Seifer, which was a Seifer son. But him and his wife were kidnapped by Russians and no one knows. Obviously they were executed somehow. Yeah. After his father-in-law passed away, so Reb Leib Yitzchak decided to go back to live in Uman, amongst the best of Hasidim over there. That's where he wanted to live. Over there, he was there as a single man. He wanted to be living there. The first, when the Reb Leib Yitzchak was first living in Teplik, he did whatever he could do. Right, he didn't want to go back to Uman then, because he felt that there's a lot to do in Teplik. A few years later, when the situation in Teplik was getting much better spiritually, then Reb Leib Yitzchak felt that it's the right time to go to Uman. Reb Leib Yitzchak had a lot of pleasure, a lot of nachat ruach, living in Uman. Oh, the big Ovdei Hashem over there, they were huge. Yeah. So Reb Leib Yitzchak used to say a little bit about the people who lived in Uman, so we'll say a little bit of stories that he brings over here. First of all, the main thing that you see in the best of people in Uman was their simplicity, is serving Hashem simply every day, day and night, every movement of their life, just Torah and Tefillah. They were sitting and learning, even Biyun, like Amash, Lamdish things, and out of their whole body came out like groans of closing Hashem, oi, oi, oi. Suddenly, in the middle of learning, they just wanted to get close to Hashem from their learning. Right, there was a guy there named Reb Matisyo. He was a big guy, and I'm not a genius. He'd say he knew everything, he knew everything. You could see him sitting in a bird, too, Bes Yosef, whatever, in the middle. Think of his eyes towards Hashem, he starts crying, he wants to get close to Hashem, in the middle of learning. Okay. And the prayers over there, who can even imagine? After a whole night, a Russian winter night, which was long and cold, that they were screaming in the field, then they broke the ice and tumbled in the river, an icy river. And then they came back to the shul and they davened for hours and hours, shachris, and they closed in that time. Looked like azoybi la ketzel voskach, like a kettle which is burning on the fire. This wasn't something that was once. This was every single day like this. He said, I knew Avreichim, which they crossed their 80 years, the 80th years. They were in the 80s, and they were just a daven shachar as if they're 20 years old, young bachurim, with all that koyach like that. He said, we could see such a thing like that today. We're so far from them. I believe it's to say that also the simple people who didn't have all this, they weren't so huge and everything, They also were carried away by these Avdim. The Rabbeinu is also dealing with everyone, also with the highest, also the lowest. There were hardly people, there were some people that hardly were able to read. Just the simple people. But during David, he used to sit and cry and cry, just from yearning to Hashem. He didn't know how to read the words. Yeah, the main thing that was between everyone was like the simplicity of just serving Hashem, whether you're a big tzaddik, a big talmid chacham, or a simple Jew. Still, they all just wanted to serve Hashem with all their might in the way of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Stop, let's say that's the story of Hashem.